out of Newsday that you are considering taking Nimmo out of the leadoff spot and walk.
No, I saw it too. As a manager, you start playing around with so many different options, you know, and this was like an informal conversation that I had with Brandon, you know, a few weeks ago. Like I said, you play around with so many different names and all that, but it's hard because this is a guy that gets on base better than anybody, one of the best at getting on base, and, you know, if everyone is healthy, Nimmo will be on the leadoff spot. For now.
All right, we're back. You heard Carlos Mendoza talk about Brandon Nimmo staying in the leadoff spot. He said for now. Obviously, that's a new manager trying to give himself wiggle room in case something changes. But I found it interesting to see the article, and I don't know if it was Tim Yealy or The Athletic, I can't remember, where the discussion came up about moving Nimmo out of the leadoff spot because he's got a little bit more power now, and maybe you want to put him in the middle of the order. There's some concerns where there's not a real clear-cut number five protection for Pete Alonso about what the Mets are going to do there. Obviously, Vogelbach was a big part of that protection last year. That didn't work out. Mets have had that issue by and large throughout, I think, Pete's tenure, to be quite honest, the protection behind him. But that's another story for another day. So the question is, should Brandon Nimmo remain in the leadoff spot? And let me make this clear. Okay, let me just go back. I wrote a piece over at Beyond the Mic breaking down the Mets' best lineup. And the Mets' best lineup, according to our Baseball Musings calculator, our Baseball Musings, that's they do the numbers, we do back of the paper bag fun here. And whether you like Baseball Musings, you like their calculator, I can't tell you what the engine is that lets them, you know, go out about that. I use whatever the Steamer projections were for everybody this year. So I wasn't even going off of historical data. I was just going by Steamer projections from Fangraphs. And the best lineup that the Mets have this year, assuming all these guys stay healthy, is Nimmo, Lindor, Marte third, Alonso fourth, Beatty fifth, Fiento sixth, Alvarez seventh, Bader eighth, McNeil nine. And every one of the top lineups, except for one in this calculator, has Nimmo at the top. The Mets' worst lineups have Nimmo at the bottom of the order. And the only other player that Baseball Musings suggests should be potentially considered for leadoff is Jeff McNeil. And in that lineup, you could put Nimmo fifth. So that is interesting that there is one lineup. And who knows with the Baseball Musings algorithm and what the Mets are looking at. Maybe the Mets looked at a lineup and said, okay, McNeil in the leadoff spot and Nimmo in the middle of the order is a better play for them offensively. That's one out of many iterations. I mean, there is still some, and this was something the Mets did back in 2019 a little bit, was putting Alonso second. And the old adage is that your best players are going to get more at-bats the higher in the lineup they are. I mean, that's just common sense. I mean, it was all these years, 100 years of baseball, you had to have a speedster at the top, and then Moneyball, it was on base, and now it's like, hey, just put your best hitters at the top. Put Ohtani leading off, and that's that. Now, when you start to look at, and the thing that everybody needs to remember is Brandon Nimmo, the best two-way player on the Mets, whether it's the eyes or statistics, is Francisco Lindor. That's the best player on the team. The next best player, and Fangraphs War will validate this, is Brandon Nimmo. Because Brandon Nimmo, maybe not the best defensive player, now he's going to play a corner. He is an elite on-base guy. He is an elite run creator. He is a top 25 in war. He's a top 25 in run creation. He was top 20 last year. He's not sexy. A lot of times when you look at where he stands in the pecking order of the league and with the names that he's been in all these years, you know, we've been talking about this. Those who've been listening to this show for a long time know, even before he was always injured, you know, I had concerns about his herniated disc in his neck. It seems like he's put together a plan to keep himself healthy. But when he only had 1 year early in his career, that was 2017, where he was really good, where he was an elite run creator at the top of the lineup for the Mets that year. that was the only season he could, you know, he had that he wasn't hurt, and he was hurt on and on and on. And then all of a sudden, Buck Showalter comes in. I'm not saying it's Buck that did it, but that 2022 season, he figured something out, and away you go. On top of that, with the help of Chili Davis, when Chili was the hitting coach, he worked on hitting left-handed pitching, which was his Achilles heel. So this guy has gone from, hey, he's a fourth outfielder to he's a platoon player to he is an elite all-star type player. He probably doesn't get all-star votes because he's vanilla. He does a lot of good things well. He doesn't do anything like, you know, hit 50 home runs or steal 50 bases or have flair out there. He just runs hard to first base, which I know ticks some people off about how he runs to first base on a walk. He has, you know, he used to be much better at taking the walk. He's actually been less selective over the last couple of years. His walk rate has gone down by about 30%. Now he's hitting more home runs. He's driving in slightly more runs. And I know that some are saying, well, you know, now that he's got this power that he's working on, should you put him in the middle of the lineup? I'm not so sure that that works. Now, I know that there's one lineup here that has Nimmo protecting Alonso, you know, putting him in that spot, maybe putting McNeil, who is not your traditional leadoff hitter. McNeil's more like how Lance Johnson used to be. Remember Lance Johnson? He would hit for a high average, but he wouldn't take any walks. He would swing at the first pitch. Back then, it was like, oh my God, you have a leadoff hitter that doesn't take a pitch. It was like they were going to put him up on a baseball tribunal on that. But maybe there's something to that, because I know McNeil, before, when Nimmo's been out, McNeil has played in that role a little bit. Now, is McNeil willing to adapt and adjust his style at the plate? Who knows? And look, there's some other names that have always come up in the media, your Lindors, your Martes. Ultimately, if you want to solve the Pete Alonso protection, I know our Baseball Musings calculator says Beatty's the guy, and they throw, and it's really interesting, they throw a whole bunch of people in the mix to protect Pete. There's Lindor in there, there's McNeil in there, I mentioned Beatty. You know, ultimately, the guy that I think needs to really step up and really be that guy is Alvarez. Hey, it's your buddy Mike Silva. Let's take a quick call to the bullpen here on the Talking Mets podcast. Are you enjoying the show? Of course, or else you wouldn't be listening. Want more Talking Mets? Of course you do. Now that wish can become a reality with Talking Mets Beyond the Mic. Why wait till Sunday to get your Talking Mets fix when you can get it throughout the week? Talking Mets Beyond the Mic is the Substack newsletter complement to the show. For just $5 a month, less than a cup of coffee, you could get multiple weekly long and short form columns, instant analysis on audio and video to breaking news, memories of Mets history and old shows from my secret vault, and listen to the weekly Talking Mets podcast commercial free. It's simple. Go to substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG and sign up today. Full year subscribers even get a special discount. What more could you ask for? Don't wait. Go now and sign up for the Talking Mets Beyond the Mic newsletter. All right, now that you've done that, let's get back to Talking Mets. And there's actually, statistically, it's not the best lineup. But the lineup that I think I may like to see would be Nimmo, Lindor, McNeil in the third spot, Alonso fourth, Alvarez fifth, Vientos and Beatty. You could interchange them depending on, and I know you want to separate, maybe at times you want to separate the righties. You know, who knows how you want to do it. And then put Marte ninth. Now, I know he's a veteran. I don't know how he's going to take that. But coming off the year that he's coming off, it's almost like a double leadoff hitter. You could maybe throw a little speed there at the bottom of the lineup and bat him ninth. That would be interesting. I don't know how Marte would take that. It will be interesting how the Mets employ the lineup. Now, they probably have their own little brew they put together and all this other stuff. But, you know, to me, that's going to be interesting. And that lineup that I just told you with Alvarez batting fifth, that solves your Pete problem. Now, you put one where you have Nimmo in the fifth spot. That's a little bit different when you have Nimmo in this fifth spot, because that one is McNeil, Lindor. They actually suggest the Baseball Musings calculator to hit Beatty third. Look, I'd love Beatty. If Beatty could evolve into, you know, a 15 home run, 280, you know, halfway decent defense, you know, third hitter, I be my dream. I don't see it. Be my dream. Alonso fourth, Nimmo fifth, Vientos, Alvarez, Bader, Marte. That's maybe adding some pop to the bottom of the lineup. Maybe you want to spread out your offensive weapons throughout the lineup so you don't have a dead few innings. How the Mets will look at this, you know, do you want to spread out your offense where you have, you know, good hitters throughout the each third? Do you want to bundle them up more to the top six? Because you have some guys that could become automatic outs. You don't know what Beatty's going to be. I'm not going to say he's an automatic out, but he's going to be inconsistent. Bader historically has been an automatic out in a lot of ways. You don't know Marte's health. I think if Marte struggles, as I said in prior weeks, he's on the clock pretty quick. Marte going to May looks shot, and Gilbert's hitting the you-know-what out of the ball. He's coming up, and he's going to take Marte's spot. Now, how that works, and look, you have Tyrone Taylor, who's had a pretty decent spring. Maybe he sneaks in there over Marte and brings some pop to the bottom of the order. So it'll be interesting how that plays out. But going back to the ultimate thing here, the reason why we had this segment, and make no mistake about it here. Make no mistake about it. Remember these things. Brandon Nimmo is an elite offensive player. He creates runs at a better rate than anybody else on the team. He may not be the best two-way player. That's Lindor. He creates runs better sometimes than Alonso. And that's fact. Numbers back that up. He's an all-star. He may, if he stays here, the whole 7 years of his contract, he may go down as one of the best Mets of all time. He may have better overall numbers than David Wright because of longevity. And he's a great leader, a great team player. If you heard him on with Heyman and Sherman, here's a guy that Stearns consulted. And Mets didn't have to do this, by the way. Stearns didn't have to call him multiple times in the offseason and say, are you okay with us signing Harrison Bader? And he's like, look, do what's best for the team. Personally, I think getting him out of center field is going to extend his career. It's going to help him stay healthy. It's, you know, Bader is an elite defensive center fielder. The Mets up the middle defense is outstanding. You have very good with Alvarez and McNeil to elite like Lindor and Bader. And that's the way it is. So before you, and don't let anybody tell you differently. You want to argue with any of your friends at the bar, pop up your cell phone, bring up Fangraphs, let them know Mike Silva told you. There's a couple of narratives out there that are dead ass wrong. Could I say ass on the radio? I said it, earmuffs if you have children in the car. That this guy is a backup outfielder, miscast as an everyday player. That he's a platoon player. He's not. He hits lefties well now. And he's anything. If anybody says he's anything but elite, they're wrong. And maybe sometimes it doesn't look fun because it includes a lot of hit-by-pitches and walks. But he has evolved. He is actually swinging the bat more. He's driving the ball more now. He's hitting the ball in run-creating situations for RBIs. And the thing that I laugh about is just because he hits home runs doesn't mean you have to be in the middle of the order. You lead off. You only guaranteed to lead off once in a game. That's it. And home runs don't mean you have to be in the middle of the order. Personally, a guy who gets on base at the level that Nimmo does, even now that he's not at that 40% on base rate, he's more like 36, 37 because he's hacking away a little bit more. That's a guy you want at the top of the order. So it'll be interesting how the Mets do this. I don't see him in the best position as being that fifth hitter to protect Pete. But maybe McNeil pops into that. Who knows when Gilbert gets called up, where they see him. Obviously, Jet Williams and Acuna, that might change things a little bit with their speed. We're nowhere near that yet. You know, let those kids develop in AA and AAA, and we'll talk about moving Nimmo out of the leadoff spot then. So that's that. Let's not have this discussion. There's no need to go any further. Brandon Nimmo's the Mets leadoff hitter. Carlos Mendoza said it. And the only reason he said for now is because that's a caveat, because who knows what the lineup needs, who knows what injuries happen, and the guy doesn't want to get lambasted from the media by saying, well, you said, because they'll go back to their notes, they'll go back to the recorder, and you said, and you lied to us. No, I didn't lie to you. I gave myself an out if I want to change my mind. That's just politics. That has nothing to do with intent, in my opinion. All right, let's take a quick break. Final segment. Let's get to the latest of the Grapefruit Roundup. It's getting interesting. The bullpen's getting interesting. It's getting more interesting than I could have thought. There's a couple of names that may have a better shot about making the team than we thought. G-Man Choi? Well, I got to tell you, he's an interesting candidate to be in this lineup over Vientos, over DJ Stewart. We'll talk about him, and we'll give you the latest opinions from your good old buddy Mike Silva about what's going on in the Grapefruit League right after this.